serving God without a heart of love is not the highest service to God. You should come to church whether you want to or don't. Because you see, if you waver to such a degree that you're having trouble serving God out of love, the law catches you.
Yeah, amen.
Right? Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. So you come. Sometimes the Lord will overrule that. But here were churches that were in terrible situations because of their departure. Look with me in James chapter 1. I hesitate that I don't want you to forget what you've heard. I really don't. I want you to know those churches Brother Matt's speaking to you of apparently did not repent because they don't exist today. That's sad. The Bible is full of what look like contradictions. They are paradoxes. It looks like you can't have these things together and yet so many times a right understanding of what looks like the paradox or contradiction is wonderful, rich understanding of the Word of God. And here a while back I've had an expression that's been in the back of my mind literally for years. It's in the 25th verse of James chapter 1. And I've known for years that there was something in there, and only recently have I seen a little bit more of what I think it is. Before I read to you, I'm not advocating John Ashcroft in any way whatsoever, but I did hear him make a statement the other day. This was after he left his office in the government. He was talking to a group of people about freedom. And I want to ask you, is freedom misunderstood in this country or not? I teach school. Well, let me restate that. I take their time. Be a better way of saying that. And my students, by and large, think that this country, being the land of the free, means they can just do anything they want. I'm wondering if you've ever met anybody like that. Is that freedom? Or is that a prison house? James is the book of practical Christianity. Verse 23, chapter 1 of James. For if any be a hearer of the word, a hearer of the what? A hearer of the word, and not a doer. Well, why would the Bible address that if that weren't possible? Somebody to be a hearer of the word, but not a doer.
Yeah.
May I lovingly submit that as a people, we've had a tendency to emphasize what you believe over what you do.
Amen.
Now, what you believe is important.
Right.
You're going to have trouble serving the Lord out of love if you don't understand what you were in nature.
Amen. That's right.
Dead in sin. Unable to do anything acceptable to God. Just think about that. And if you ever understand that, election will be the best news you ever heard in your life.
Amen.
That God chose a people out of an entire human race that was under the wrath of God because of what Adam had done. But may I lovingly submit, believing that is not enough.
Amen.
For us to serve God as we should. That's what he's talking about, isn't it? Can you be a hearer of the word but not a doer? He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, we would say in a mirror. To me, this is almost a comic portion of Scripture, because I think of myself. For he, all right, here, the man that is a hearer of the word but not a doer, please pray for me, please. He's a hearer of the word but not a doer. He's like to a man who beholds his face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, as long as I'm not looking in a mirror, I can convince myself I look pretty good. Y'all hear me? I really don't like to look in a mirror. In fact, I don't like my wife to look at me too. You know, wives do, I'm wondering if any of y'all's wives have the tendency to, let me use the word, scrutinize your appearance. Want to make sure you look just right, check you out. And every once in a while she'd be looking at me pretty close and I realize I'm being scrutinized. I say, honey, I do not bear up very well under your scrutiny. I don't even want her looking at me too close. But I can't hardly stand in front of a mirror and get the reality of what, the reality sets in when you look in the mirror, right? And as long as I'm not in front of the mirror, I can persuade myself that I look pretty good. Get in front of the mirror, reality sets in. He that is a forgetful hearer of the word, he's a hearer of the word and not a doer, is just like that man who goes his way and forgets what he looks like because he's not looking in the mirror. Do you understand the lesson here? Can I tell you this morning the way for you to more thoroughly understand what you're like is to look into the mirror of the Word of God. You're never going to know what you're like without looking into the mirror of the Word of God. You will not know it by reading the philosophies of the world. You will not know it by understanding reading all the books in the world, taking all the coursework in the world. You're not going to understand what you're really like unless you look into the mirror of the Word of God.
Amen.
And that'll tell you what you're like.
Amen.
And just to be honest with you, you're not going to like what you see either. But you absolutely need to see that to know what God has rescued you from. And that's not my subject so much. But now, and then he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is my subject. The perfect law of liberty. Now that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? A law of liberty? I thought if you had law, you had no liberty. Aren't we hearing some of that in the world today? I don't want this to be political whatsoever. I want us to talk about the Word of God. But I'm just saying, do people misunderstand liberty or don't they? Do we or do we not misunderstand it? Now, I understand this to be saying that the Bible is the perfect law of liberty. The Word of God. Now, I didn't tell you what John Ashcroft said, did I? I interrupted myself. I do that frequently. John Ashcroft was speaking to a group of people, and he said, a law, again, I'm not advocating John Ashcroft, but he said, a law against murder does not make you less free. It makes you more free. I want you to think about that. Now, am I right? Is that right?
Yes,
was Mr. Ashcroft right when he said that?
Yes.
A law against murder does not make you less free.
Right.
It makes you more free.
Right.
Now with that, I want you to think with me. And law is something we do not understand among primitive Baptists by and large. The function of it. Let me just say this. The moral code of Almighty God has never changed. I said the moral code. Have you ever wondered how in the world it was possible for the nation of Israel to exist as a nation for roughly 400, 450 years before they ever had a natural king? Right? The period of the judges and all through there? They didn't have a king! They eventually got upset, wanted a king, just like all the other nations of the world. God help them. And the Lord eventually gave them what they wanted, although it wasn't what they needed.
Amen.
Saul was the first one. Have you ever stopped to wonder how the nation of Israel could exist for 450 years without a civil government? And I want to ask you, were they freer before they had a king or after they got one? The Bible is the perfect law of liberty.
Amen.
It's a law. And may I lovingly state, it is not fair to the child of God to lead them to believe that they are not under any law.
Amen.
We've made the law some sort of boogeyman, haven't we? It's quiet out there.
Amen.
Very quiet. Well, I hope I got your attention enough to at least listen to me. You may reject what I say. You have that right. But I say again, the moral standard, the moral code of Almighty God has never changed. It was the same in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
As it was in the days of Moses.
Right.
Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to lovingly say to you, the law of Moses is not totally abrogated. The ceremonial law is abrogated. Let me say this. That's right. In other words, when Almighty God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, he was not giving Moses new information. I ask you, was murder wrong in the Garden of Eden? And if it wasn't, why was the Lord upset with Cain?
That's right.
In general, I think I would say it this way. The only laws of God that are done away from the New Testament are those that pointed towards something higher. The ceremonial law, obviously, done away. It pointed toward Christ.
That's right.
And a lot of that pointed toward the New Testament church and kingdom.
Amen.
Why in the world would we want to reinstitute something that pointed toward what we've got that's better? And I never will understand why people think that in the millennium, which isn't going to happen anyway, we're going to have all that stuff reinstituted. That makes no sense to me.
Amen.
And I'm not angry one bit. I'm really not.
Amen.
But listen. And I would say that the law of circumcision, which, by the way, antedated Moses, is also out. We're taught that in the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, if there's anything taught in the Bible, it is that circumcision is nothing. Circumcision in the flesh is nothing. What matters is circumcision in the spirit.
Amen.
So that pointed towards something higher. Animal sacrifices, which, by the way, also antedate Moses.
Right.
Almighty God performed the first one in Genesis chapter 3.
Amen.
And he was telling them that I'm going to clothe you. There's going to be an innocent one that's going to die in order that you may be clothed in righteousness.
Amen.
Almighty God did that. But that's also done away. It pointed towards something higher. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But other than that, in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the moral code of Almighty God, the moral standard of Almighty God, the civil laws by which Almighty God has expected us to live are intact now just the same as they've always been.
Amen.
And I wish you'd say amen to that.
Amen.
The moral standard hasn't changed. Well now, we have the tendency though, as human beings, say, well, whew, a moral standard? Well, see, here's the thing. I need your, please pray for me and bear with me. One of the greatest lies that Satan has ever propagated is the idea that every, and it's rampant, Brother Matt. It's rampant. The idea that every individual person under heaven has the right and the obligation to make up his or her mind what's right for them. You ever heard that?
Yes.
Well, may I lovingly submit that what's right has already been determined.
Yes.
And it has been determined by the authority of all authorities.
That's right.
Almighty God. And bless your heart, he's not left, I thank God that he's not left us to wonder about it. It's in his word. It's in the perfect law. Which is a law of liberty. In general, let me say this. No matter what you're talking about, and I think this harmonizes with what Brother Matt was preaching to us so beautifully, and I envy his gift. He's so smooth. He's smooth as silk. And I just, people, preachers like that just give me the gut ache. They just do. But anyway, I think this harmonizes with what he was saying, but I would just lovingly submit to you this. First of all, let me just say a few things about law in general. First of all, Almighty God, I want to ask you, does he have the right to tell you what to do?
Amen.
Does he?
Yep.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, he did not ordain you're going to walk in them. I'm not a fatalist.
Amen.
But they're out there. Well, you know what that verse says? That the good works God has ordained. Does that sound like the Lord's waiting on you to go to college and philosophy school and sit at the feet of Socrates in order to figure out what's right? Well, I don't think so.
That's right.
He's already told us. And it's a law. And I want you to know it's inflexible. Hear me. It is inflexible. It is not optional. It's not up to you. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Now man, our natural human reaction is to rebel against that.
That's right.
But I want you to know, in absolute, total, 100% bowing to the law of God is the greatest liberty and freedom you'll ever have on this earth.
Amen.
You remember over there in Corinthians, he talks about the man. That is the Lord's free man's man's servant. And the one that's the Lord's servant is the Lord's free man. And that word servant means slave.
Amen.
I want you to know that if you, oh Lord help us, if each one of us would recognize that the Bible and what's contained in it is the perfect law of liberty, and if we would be willing as individuals and churches and families and nations to bow at the feet of our Creator and Lord and realize that all the laws that God has ever given us are for our own good.
Amen.
You see, we have the tendency, I think we'd be better off, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we be better off? The perfect law of liberty. A law of liberty. Now, this would apply in general to any and every law that God has ever given you. Again, with the exception of those that are abrogated. With the exception of the ceremonial law, circumcision, animal sacrifice, and that sort of thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And may I lovingly submit to you also this morning, and I'm not trying to be controversial, I have no desire to be controversial, but I do have a desire to tell you the truth of God's holy word, as I understand it. If the law of Moses, which is completely abrogated, every bit of it, I want to lovingly ask you, what is the Apostle Paul doing using it in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians as his pattern? How can that be? How in the world can that be, brothers and sisters? And that is, by the way, and that's in a chapter that's concerned mainly with the support of the ministry. Good grief! Do you understand? Okay, now, the moral code of Almighty God, I submit any law of God, any law of God that He has given to you. And by the way, in that 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he also tells us explicitly that we're not without law to God, but under the law to Christ.
Amen.
Listen, there are laws that God has given that should govern our lives. But now here's our automatic reaction. It's like my teenagers. By the way, I lovingly tell you also, the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, the flesh is stupid. I want you to understand what I mean. It's stupid because it will absolutely get you to want something that will kill you. Now explain that. That's stupid. And our flesh will automatically rise up in revolt, and I know it's 10 to 12, but I ask you to have mercy on me as far as the clock. Our flesh will rise up in revolt when we find, when anybody tells, and there's part of you right now that doesn't like me telling you that God tells you how to live. There is. There's a part of you that doesn't like me for telling you that. You don't want to be told that God tells you how to live. God tells you. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
If you do that, you sin.
Amen.
Now, I know if you're laid up sick, but you better make sure you're sick.
Amen.
Right? I'll give you another one. See, we don't think about this. And by the way, that's a perfect law of liberty. You see, our automatic reaction is to think that the laws of God hem us in. Am I right?
Amen.
Our reaction is that the laws of God curtail our liberty. Isn't that right?
Amen.
That the laws of God hem us in. They cramp our style.
That's right.
Right? I want you to know the laws of God do not hem you in. They do not cramp your style. They, like all the rest of the truth of God, set you free.
Amen.
They set you free.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you're freer. You're freer in abiding by the laws of God than you are otherwise. God intended for you to be free of the problems and complications that arise from disobeying His moral law. And it's really interesting, Brother Dale's a preaching up a storm. You know, and I love it when people help me preach. I cannot preach alone. I have to have the Spirit of God, and it really helps if I've got the congregation.
Amen.
The congregation's about 85% of the preaching service. Did y'all hear me, congregation? 85% of the preaching service is the congregation. I've been in places where I couldn't preach a lick in the road, and I'm not saying I'm a greater preacher, but there are places where it is laborious, and then there are places where it's free.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that here it's free.
Amen.
I feel free to preach here.
Preach it, brother.
And that's a credit to the congregation.
Amen.
It's a credit to the congregation. But anyway, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to be told. We do not want to be told the laws of God because it cramps our style. We cannot go along and get along and be like the world. Right?
Amen.
It cramps our style. And I was going to turn to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Yeah, why would anybody object to the Ten Commandments? Exactly right. I'll never figure that out. Boy, I would dare say that if I could get the Islamist
come on now
in here,
yeah,
and the Buddhist and the agnostic and the atheist and get them in here and reason them with them just a little bit, I can say something to them like the following. Do you want someone taking your personal property? Well, no. Well, then we can all agree thou shalt not steal. Right?
Yeah, right.
Anybody, to quote over Sonny Piles, that's got sense enough to lick a postage stamp ought to be able to agree with that. That, of course, that's from the days when you still licked postage stamps. Any right thinking, no, I do not lick postage stamps anymore, Brother Bill. Any right thinking person ought to be able to admit we're better off with a law against stealing.
Amen.
A law against stealing, listen, it does not make you less free, brothers and sisters. It makes you more free. God honors your personal property. Don't teach me communism's taught in the Bible. God honors your possession of personal property to such a degree He makes it a law against anybody else taking it. Now that makes you freer. You can leave your keys in your car. We got here in Oklahoma, we're in Oklahoma City. We're in Oklahoma City. We live in Del Arc, Arkansas. Well, actually, we don't even live in Del Arc, Arkansas. We live 3 miles north of Del Arc in the woods.
Amen.
Brother Harold's been there. And we never lock our car at the house. Car or truck sitting out there in the parking lot. Good grief. We don't have a parking lot either. They're sitting out there in the car park. We never lock them. We drove up on the grounds here because the man locked this van. We're in Oklahoma City. I locked the van. Do you realize, I want you to think what kind of world we'd have if people would live by the moral code of Almighty God. What kind of world would we have? You could leave your keys in your vehicle. You wouldn't have to lock your house when you come to church. We used to have a country like that. But see what happened. What has happened in America? The New Testament Sabbath is the first day of the week. We do not worship God on the first day of the week on an accident. It's not just somebody up and decided we worship on the first day of the week. Y'all hear me? The explanation of why we worship on the first day of the week is in the New Testament. And it makes perfect sense when you realize that the best and the first of all you have is God. First day of the week ought to be God's. That makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense. But anyway, he says, honor the Sabbath. I want you to know you're going to be freer if you'll do that. You will be freer. You will be delivered from lots of things if you will do that. If you do not observe the New Testament Sabbath, the first day of the week, you're going to have problems and complications that you would not have if you would observe it. Isn't that right? Well, if that's true, I'm asking you, is it a law of liberty? It's a perfect law of freedom, of liberty. On down the list. Honor thy father and thy mother. All the children in the congregation listen. You children listen. Look up here, all you children. That's the law of Almighty God.
That's right.
You children hear me? God says, honor your father and your mother. Now I know the way children are. I've got two. And even though they're a lot like their mother, they're still not perfect. God be praised, they're like their mother, though. Woo! Anyway, and the part of them that is bad is the part when they're like me. I guarantee you. Do you know what? When your parents tell you to do something, children, that's a law of God. See, you hear me? You do not have the option under God to disobey or disregard your mother's commandment.
Amen. Amen.
Now then, the child will say to himself or herself, I am not free. Right? Isn't that our reaction?
Yeah.
Gee, I gotta do everything they tell me. You know, and yes, you gotta do everything they tell you, and you gotta do it to the extent they tell you, and for as long as they tell you, and as often as they tell you. That's right. And then the automatic reaction is, goodness gracious, what a prison that is. I'm telling you, children, if you will do that, you will be free. It's a law of liberty. God expects you to do it, but if you'll do it, and eventually, children, you'll get to where you don't do it out of a sense of obligation, you'll actually do it out of love. And out of a desire for what's right. And I'm telling you, that's freedom. Thou shalt not kill. And I know that this is flung around, but what the Lord meant by this, as He Himself interpreted in the New Testament, is thou shalt do no murder. That's what this means. It is not against capital punishment. It does not tell you you can't go deer hunting. It does not tell you you can't kill a fire ant hill in your backyard. No. Thou shalt do no murder is what the Lord said this commandment means in the Sermon on the Mount. Do no murder. Don't shed innocent blood. Now, does that make you freer or what? If we would have died by this, you would never have to worry about drive-by shooting. Bombings in the subways of London. Think about it. You would be safer. I want you to know this is a law of liberty, a law of freedom. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Holy cow. Can you imagine what kind of world we'd live in if we'd live by that one? I just want you to think about what the world would be like if we would live by these commandments. And by the way, that's why the founding fathers said that if we don't live by these, our republic will not long survive. They knew that if you just got a law on the book somewhere, it will not make people behave. They've got to realize the law of God. Live by the laws of God, and this nation will survive. Isn't that right? Listen, the answer's right here in the Bible. I'm not even in the government. I wouldn't be in politics if you paid me all enough money to fill this building. I just wonder. To be absolutely honest, am I trying to brag? I hold a higher office. But I am telling you this morning, I've got the answer. Not in and of myself, but in the Word of God. Every time I think about that, I think what the Lord said. He said, my doctrine is not my own. What? My doctrine is not mine. That sounds crazy. My doctrine is not mine. He just said it's His, but it's not. What do you mean by that? He got it from God the Father. That's what He means. This is what I'm telling you this morning is my insincere, heartfelt, studied out, I trust opinion. But I also hope it's God's Word. The perfect law of liberty. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. The automatic reaction. The automatic reaction. Especially, well, anyway, of worldly people. Wow, goodness gracious, that means I have to be committed to one person? Just one? One? Don't commit adultery. That means one man, one woman, one life. We understand that, right? Well, what's the automatic human reaction? Goodness gracious, that sure does hem me in. That cramps my style. I want you to know, you know, how, you remember years ago when there was this big push for people to stay single. Remember that? Y'all remember that? When it was considered chic and popular, you know, and intellectual and everything to stay single. Now, I know there are people that stay single and have to stay single. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about advocating it as the superior lifestyle to being married. The Bible will not support that. God Almighty said it's not good for man to be alone. I think God knew what he was talking about. It is not, and by the way, when he said that about Adam, Adam was in a pretty good condition. And he was in a pretty good place. And when God said it's not good for him to be alone. Well, that means one man, one woman, total commitment, total monogamy. One place. That's what it means. Well, goodness gracious, that sure does cramp my style. I can't. Well, you know what I'm saying. Oh, no. I want you to know, and I just flatly reject the idea that marriage is any kind of prison house, that marriage is a bondage. I flatly reject it. Marriage is an emancipation. That's what it is. It's freedom. Marriage is under God. Don't commit at all. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, how about that one? Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. That means you can't go around telling stuff on somebody. Y'all hear me? Don't be slandering. Don't be slandering somebody. Don't be vilifying them. Don't be telling stuff on them you don't know. You know you can destroy somebody's reputation with a story.
Amen.
You can destroy their reputation with a story, and they'll spend the rest of their natural life trying to get it back. Don't bear false witness. Now, does that make you freer? I'm telling you, that makes you freer. You don't have to worry about other people destroying your reputation with a story. Absolute obedience to this makes you freer. Thou shalt not covet. You think about that one. By the way, do you realize what the Lord's saying here? And I want to also say this. In general, many of the commandments of Almighty God are things we have to admit to. In other words, we've got to make up our minds. Hear me? He says, thou shalt not covet. That's something you have to make up your mind not to do. I'll give you another one. He says over there in one of the epistles of the New Testament, desire the sincere milk of the, as newborn children, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And brethren, that's a commandment. That is an imperative statement. He's not describing children. He's giving you the commandment that as children, he wants you to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And that is something you got to make up your mind to do. A lot of Christianity is repentance, changing our thinking, making up our mind, going across. And there are things in the Bible you're not supposed to think. Did you know that? You are not supposed to think certain things. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Right? I mean, goodness, think of your brethren more highly than you do yourself. Christianity is other oriented. And also I want to say this, and I know this is potpourri, I guess. Potpourri. But I also want to say this, that as churches, as local assemblies, may I lovingly submit that we should even be thinking of the little lost sheep that doesn't even know where the meeting house is located.
Amen.
What do you think?
Amen.
I believe we need to change our thinking about that. I believe we need to repent and realize that there are children of God out there that we should be reaching out to and trying to get a hold of. Now, since I said that, let me say this. Toby, you know, I believe this is the law of liberty. Any commandment of Almighty God is the law of liberty. All right? Decide since you're moving forward. That's the law of liberty. You do that and you'll be free. But let me say this also about those that are without, okay? I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it's like Brother, I believe it was Brother Major said yesterday, what's left of Christianity. I wrote that down in my notebook so I'd remember it. What's left of Christianity in America is, I wouldn't even know if I'd call it the vestiges of it. It's just an empty shell in most part. And a lot of churches, brothers and sisters, have just worldly entertainments and they call it spirituality. And many of them have completely forsaken the preaching of the Word of God, the exposition of the Bible. The preaching of the Word of God, they've forsaken. Or they preach 12 minutes. I heard a lady whose husband was a pastor, and she said he never preaches more than 12 minutes. And then I was absolutely flabbergasted because I can't even get an introduction done in 12 minutes. Now listen, brothers and sisters, as that continues to worsen, and as those, and they're not our enemies, but I'm just telling you, as that continues to worsen and deteriorate, we have a tremendous opportunity to reach out to those who are sick and tired of that.
That's right.
And you go to them and say, look, when they say, man, well, our preacher, I don't, when they say something like you, they say, well, I don't even remember the last time our preacher preached from the Bible. You should be immediately ready to say, whew, you ought to come with us, man. They preach about an hour over at our place. We hear the Bible every Sunday.
Amen.
They still preach the Bible where I go to church. When they're sick and tired of the rock and roll bands, and I'm not trying to be critical.
Oh, yeah,
but when they're sick and tired of that, you say, man, you ought to come to our place. We just seem congregational. We ought to have that. Do you hear me? I think we need to repent, change our thinking in these regards. And I tell you, that'll be a law of liberty. We'll be freer if we'll do that. If we'll become this way. Okay, so he says, don't bear false witness. And he says, don't covet. I'm telling you, you got to make up your mind not to covet. Am I right? This means you got to make up your mind to be content. Now who's better off? Who's better off? Who's freer? The person that every time they see an advertisement on television, they burn with desire. Or the person that none of that affects them and they're content. Who's freer? I ask you. The content one's freer. He's better off. Now, it makes me think of the old preacher, the old Texas preacher. They took him to Little Rock. You hear that? They did not take him to Little Rock. They took him to New York City. And down Fifth Avenue. Isn't that right? And that's hot shot this, you know, in New York. I've never been there, wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if you dropped me in Fifth Avenue. But I think Fifth Avenue is where the hot shot, you know, high dollar rich people shop. Well, they took this old Texas brother from out there in West Texas in his boots and Wrangler jeans. And he, down on that street he went, and he spent half a day looking around. He got home that night and knelt down by his bed and said, Lord, I thank you that I ain't seen nothing all day I wanted. I want to ask you, is he freer? Is he freer than the person that goes down there and burns with desire for everything they see? It's a law of liberty. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a law of liberty. And this applies to anything that's in the Bible. Absolutely any law of Almighty God that's in the Bible. I'm made to think of the law of marriage. It's a law. The law of a home. Did you know that how a home is to be set up is a law of God? I mean, is that right? Yeah, that's, nobody said amen. Yeah, Brother Harold, I need your that little amen neon sign. Well, will you agree that God tells us in the Bible how to set up a home?
Yes.
Well, that's the same thing. So you can say amen to my first statement.
God has given us the law of how to set up a home. Even if you won't say amen. And what is it? It's over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he starts with a man. He does not start with a woman. He starts with a man. The head of every man is Christ. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hate feminism like I hate the devil. And I know that certain women, ladies, get mad when you don't agree with feminism. But feminism is a lie of the devil. The idea that there's no distinction between man and woman, it's just completely foreign to the Bible.
Amen.
Completely foreign to the Bible. My wife's different than I am. Did y'all know that? My wife's different than I am, and you ought to be able to tell by looking.
Amen.
You ought to. From any direction, you ought to be able to tell the difference by looking. And let them say something else. There's a difference in us emotionally.
Amen.
Can I give you an example lovingly? My wife is not mean enough to my sons. I'm just telling you the way it is. Guess who is the major disciplinarian in our home? You're looking at it. And guess what? I do not shirk that. I've never told my wife. I've never one time, and I'm not going to tell my wife to handle that on her own. I'm her backup.
Amen.
She has the right to say, when Daddy gets home, you're going to get it. You know why? I can do that better than she can. Now, if that makes me a sexist, so be it. That's just the way it is. You know what? She's much better at nurturing, taking care, loving. When those boys are hurt, they never did run to me. They'd run around me to get to their mom. Well, isn't that right? Did you know that that's the law of God, and it makes us free to realize it? Why would we want to deny the way God has set things up? He starts with a man. He said, the head of every man is Christ. I hate feminism like I hate the devil, but I do not blame the feminist movement on women. I blame on sorry men who bark orders instead of being the spiritual leader in their home. That's whom I blame the feminist movement on. Men who were tyrants and dictators and did not, as Christ says in Ephesians chapter 5 or 6, love their wives. As Christ loved the church. How much did he love the church? He loved the church. He gave himself for her. And he gave himself for her, listen, every day. And then at the end of his life, he died for the whole of that family. I want you to know that the way a home is set up is a law of liberty. What God says about the home is a law, and it'll set us free. You know what it would do? It would set us free. It would set the home. It'll set your home free from the power struggles that exist in it. Right? It would set us free from a better than 50% divorce rate of marriages that are modern. Contemporary. Do you hear me? Adherence to this, starting with men, starting with the husband, loving his wife, would set us free. And I guarantee you one thing, you men, I'll make you a solemn promise. If you will submit your life in every detail to the headship of Christ, your wife will submit to you.
Amen.
Hear me? She will. I'd like to brag on my wife some more, but I won't. Now then, the home. And let me just say a few words about the worship. Did you know God tells us how to worship Him?
Amen.
That is mandated. It is a law. We are not free to do any old kind of way this morning. I hope I never see the day when Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church has any musical instrument in here during the worship service. Now we're gonna let me see if I can and I appreciate y'all bearing with me. It's 12:15. It is. I appreciate you bearing with me. Just a few more minutes here. Primitive Baptists, by and large, have not kept up with the time. I know you're going to be quiet because you don't understand what I mean by that. I do not mean that we should change the order of worship. You should know that from the statement I just made. How we worship God is not optional. It's a law of God, and it's recorded in the Bible, and we can understand it. But we've not kept up with the times. Y'all have here. I was most impressed when I drove by y'all's new piece of property. I wanted to stop the van and get out and walk around on it and holler. I'm so proud of it. It's almost unheard of for a Primitive Baptist church to think that far in the future. But we've got to start thinking in the future. I'm not talking, you understand me. I'm not talking about changing the order of worship. You understand that, don't you? I hope when I come here 25 years from now, you're still preaching from the King James Version of the Bible. I don't care if you got to get them on the black market. And I hope you're still praying to Almighty God, and I hope you're still singing these hymns out of this book. And now, talking about laws we make up on our own, I was joking around, saw y'all's new hymn book. I said, these brethren over here are out of order. Got a new hymn book. We make up all that kind of nonsense, and we ignore the laws of God, which would set us free. I hope when I come back 25 years from now, you're still preaching, still singing congregational hymns, a cappella, still preaching the King James Version of the Bible, still praying to God. Hope you still got the same basic organization in your assembly here as you have right now. None of that should change, but we're going to have to change with the time. You understand what I'm saying? Quit living in the past. Quit fighting the battle of 1830. I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. If, let me tell you something. If something's in the Bible that we're supposed to do, we better get to doing it. And I don't care if the biggest church in Oklahoma City's doing it. Big deal. It's a law of God. And it's a law of liberty. Can we see that? Okay. Well, you know, one thing the Lord seems to be doing when he set up his church anyway, I think, in a lot of ways, he was just setting up the church, and every time he would set something up, or the apostles would, he would say, in essence, get the flesh out. Yes. That's right. Get the flesh out and keep the flesh out.
Right.
That's why we don't have bands. And I'm going to lovingly submit to you, that's why we really ought not make too big an issue about how beautifully we sing. Now, y'all sing beautifully. But how beautifully we sing really isn't the major issue. Isn't that right? That's why you should sing if you can't carry a tune in an unfree wash tub. Because you know what? The Lord's not listening to that. He's listening to your heart that's humming along. Your heart's humming along and it's singing praise and worship to your God. That's what's interesting to God. The Lord seems to say, get the flesh out. We're not going to have musical instruments. By the way, there is no place in the Bible where Almighty God ever instituted musical instruments, Old or New Testament.
Amen.
You know who brought them in? David.
Amen.
David's the one who started that mess. Go read your Old Testament. And then, in the book of Amos, God took him to the woodshed for it. It never was the original pattern. It's not the pattern now. And even that, I will say this too, man alive, but the focal point of our worship, this is the law of God. The focal point of our worship had always better be the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
In power and demonstration of the Spirit.
Amen.
If singing, I know places where sometimes I think singing's more important to them than preaching. Extremely dangerous! Dangerous! preaching of the Word of God, the exposition of it like Brother Majors did, and all these other brethren, getting up and reading from the Word of God and giving the sense and making the people understand it. And by the way, did you know when they did that over there in old Nehemiah, everybody was there, including children. And the Lord obviously preached when children were in the congregation because he had called them up in front of the meeting house. Well, I say the meeting house. They may not have been in the meeting house, but everywhere the Lord was, he called the children of the congregation up the front. That's the law of God. I hope I never come here and y'all run the children off somewhere else while the preaching takes place. God forbid. That's a law of liberty, though. It's a law. It's an inflexible law, but it's a law of liberty. And I got to quit somewhere. God bless you. I appreciate you.